Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Are you ready for a picnic? I am too. And I want to just give a side here that I am deeply thankful for a Christian historical astute congregation. You know, the little creed we had in the summer that we tried to experiment with, I had many comments saying, no, we want to go back to the traditional creeds. We like the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed. Nobody mentioned the Athanasian Creed, but I guess as long as I'm here, we're going to stick to tradition, because if it's good enough for our forefathers and mothers, it's good enough for me. So welcome back, Athanasian Creed. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You guys teach me a lot more than I teach you. You know, one of the joys I've had as a pastor, going on 48 years, but it's also very challenging, is to be with a person, a parishioner, that's dying, and to hear their last words and what their reflections are. And I never heard anybody say, I wish I spent more time at work. I wish I made more money. I wish I was more politically powerful. And I didn't hear any of that. I always hear, I wish I had spent more time with my family. I wish I didn't hold that grudge with my sister so many years. I wish I would have called that person when the thought came to my mind, and I didn't do it. I'm thankful for family and love and goodness. See, these are the main things. And this is what I hear, some of the last words when people are getting ready to die. Why is it that so often when it comes to the end, then we wake up to what's the most important things in life? What's really, really important? Instead of majoring in minors or being distracted by this thing or that thing, what the news media tells you is so important. But what's the most important thing? What is our life all about? And when they start taking their lives more seriously, the people often see that they have wasted so much time on minors and not majoring in majors. They were dancing to the world's tune and not to God's tune. I think that is what Jesus is really getting to today. Jesus was quite aware of the gift of life. He said, I have come to give you life in all its fullness, overflowing life, wonderful life, amazing life. Jesus knew that the kingdom he proclaimed, this kingdom of God, this way of life he taught, would cause conflict with the world. Because people gripped by this spirit and this kingdom, this way of the cross, knew freedom. They knew who God is. And they knew these false prophets that were trying to take over their lives. They knew their freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so frustrating, I imagine, to Jesus when Peter says today, hey, you know, don't go the way that you prayed about, that you sense Yahweh, your Abba Father, told you to go. No, you can't do that, Lord. It's not good. It's you're going to die. This is not good. He wanted to go the way of the power and the glory of the world, where it's safe, where the illusion is that you have the control, where you, the enemy, you crush them because they're the losers and you're the winner. You know? And that's the temptation that he gave Jesus. And it was a real temptation. Who wants to go to Jerusalem? Who wants to suffer? Who wants to be crucified? No one. Jesus didn't. In fact, he prayed, take this cup away from me. St. Paul talked about, remember last week, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transformation of your mind. What is good and healthy and mature. That's what Jesus says. For those who want to save their life, they'll lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And Jesus is not just talking about physical death. He's talking about a spiritual dying and rising with Christ. He's talking about being humble and open to God. When I'm talking to you, what would Jesus' presence want in this situation? What leads to faith, hope, and love? What leads to goodness and justice and mercy in this situation? Which is often countercultural. And Jesus was really followed by St. Paul. And basically, they're saying, wake up to life. L'chaim, to life. Today, right now. Like St. Paul said in Galatians, realize it's no longer you who live or I who live. Not ego. That I'm in control. You know how you spell ego? E-G-O. Easing God out. But God's in control, and Jesus Christ, the Spirit's in control. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That same gift you got when you were baptized. That same Spirit is in you. We need to let the false self, the greedy, the comparing ourselves to other self, the putting other people down, I'm only going to be nice to you if I can use you for my advancement self. And be open to the true self, the self in Christ. And God does this in the power of the Holy Spirit being born from above. Martin Luther talked about every day, you go back to your baptism to die and rise with Christ. Let that old Fred, that old Janet, that old Larry drown, and the new that you're made in Christ rise up, the new person, the true person. And this dying often feels like death. It hurts. Old illusions, old habits, old ways of doing things. You're asking Jesus to let that drown in new ways of being open and vulnerable and loving, knowing that our strength comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives, letting the world go, our security, letting go of the illusions of control, letting God, let the power of God into us and wake us up to love Him, to live in Him, and to look at you, not as strangers, but as my brothers and sisters. In fact, to love you as I love myself. Now, it means you need to know that you're loved, that God loves you, but to share that. But he's also talking about death. And I don't know about you, but I always am fascinated by people who have near-death experiences and write about it. I've read books about that. In fact, one book is by Dr. George Ritchie, a psychiatrist. It's called Return from Tomorrow. Return from Tomorrow. And Dr. Ritchie, when he was younger, he went into the military, like 1945. He wanted to serve our country, but also to get the GI Bill. And when he was stationed in Texas, and it was like the coldest winter Texas had ever. And he started feeling like he had a cold, and he started feeling like a sore throat, and he had a cough. And then he started burning up. He got a temperature of 102. He started coughing up blood. Temperature of 106. They rushed him to the infirmary. They put him in the x-ray machine. And he keeled over. And they couldn't find a pulse. And they couldn't find a heartbeat. He was dead. Physically, biologically, clinically, dead. But, as he writes in his book, that's not how he felt. He saw a light that grew and grew and grew. It was warm. It was bright. It was all-encompassing. It filled him with love and joy and freedom. He had, in his experience, tears in his eyes. Of such wonderful connection with everything. And suddenly, through this light, he saw a figure of somebody there, a human being. And he felt inside, I need to stand up because I'm in front of the Son of God and in front of Jesus. And it was just wonderful. And his life like passed before him. And the main thing he got from Jesus was, do you know I love you? And do you know your life and meaning is love? Have you used that reality, that experience to glorify your Father in heaven? Have you used that life, that love to love each other, especially the poor and the immigrant and the overlooked and the used and the abused and the addicted? Have you used your gifts, your love that I've given you, that is unconditional and never-ending love to the good of others? I want you to go back. You have a mission. I want you to go back. It's not time for you to be with me in heaven yet. It's time to go back and do something good. And after a half hour of being dead and having a blanket pull over his head and everything, he sat up. Well, imagine the orderly in the morgue, what happened to him. I mean, I hope he had some toilet paper. This was something very surprising. And he followed that. He said he was no longer afraid of death. He was no longer afraid of the other people. He became a psychiatrist, and he served people. And he wrote three books, two on his experience, to share the good news, the love. Now, we don't have to have a near-death experience to have this. We know it. We're here. We receive the word and the sacrament. The kingdom of God is upon us, to then repent and turn around and face the good news right now, to know that that warmth and that love is with you. And God is with you, and he's calling you to live his way right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, right now. And to die, to bury, to turn away from everything that gets in the way of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. To love now, to give now, to care now, not to wait till it's too late. So the question is, how to live this way? What in you today needs to die, so that you may live in Christ and all his fullness? And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.